Bob Metz is the past president of the American Soybean Association, but also very involved with international marketing. But let's talk about what brings you to Commodity Classic, Bob.
Well, this is really the premier ag show for corn and soybean growers. And on a personal note, certainly a lot of really good friends from all over the United States, as well as some international folks that we know, that you get a chance to just sit down, and they're truly our neighbors. You know, it's a big world, and it's an international world. And so it's just fun to walk down the aisles to meet with all of the equipment dealers that we want to work with, some great learning sessions going on, as well as this is where we make policy for the following year.
Having been a leader in the American Soybean Association, tell me, what are the policy priorities? What would you like to see the directions gone here for policy?
We certainly understand that, you know, our country's going through a bit of a tough time, and everybody's having to take some cuts, and we certainly in agriculture know that we need to take cuts too. So we're really sitting down and saying, you know, what is most important to us and what can we live without? And I think we as Americans do that normally, and it's the right thing to do. I believe for soybean growers, I think biodiesel has just been a great, great opportunity for us. It's really helped stabilize the price of soybean oil and soybean meal. Years ago, when we'd hit 3 billion pounds of excess veg oil in the United States, the price would get down in the teens on oil. Today, I think we have about 4.5 billion pounds of oil, and we're in the 40s to 50s because we have that outlet of biodiesel.
Of course, there's a lot of other marketing that goes on, and much of it overseas. You yourself are overseas promoting U.S. soybeans. So tell me about those efforts and how important they are to getting our soybeans overseas.
Well, we got to understand, a few years back, we were exporting about a third of what we raise in the United States for soybeans. We're shortly going to approach two-thirds of what we raise in the United States, one-third of that going to China. That's a huge customer, great potential, continues to grow. We're excited about that. There's risk when you have that big of a customer taking that many beans, obviously. So we're very, very mindful that we need to make sure we have other good customers. Southeast Asia is growing, a huge population. There are people that want to put meat in their diet. Putting poultry and swine in their diet means that they need our soybean meal to feed to their animals. So a great opportunity. We go over there, we help them be successful, help them be better businessmen, do everything we can. And at the end of the day, people do business with people. And if we've helped them in their business and we've got a good product at a reasonable price, they're going to come back to us every time.
Do you think you're moving the needle as far as building these relationships overseas and getting either new prospective customers or solidifying those that are customers?
Absolutely. I was just recently in Turkey. I was in a room with about 40 different customers from around that part of the world. And I think I knew 38 of them from past meetings at different places. That is key. They know you, you know them. I've had them to my farm. Had a young lady from Kazakhstan visit the farm in December that I had met earlier in the year in Kazakhstan. You get these relationships grown, that's very important. Yes, we have to have the right price, and certain times of year we are probably outpriced when Brazil is harvesting, which is coming up, and we're towards the end of our supply. We're probably not the market of choice. We understand that. That is okay. It's just key that right after our harvest, that next 6 months, that we are the dominant market. It's just that it's really important as we have to make decisions about moving forward and making some cuts, that we make the right cuts. I think it's real important to everybody here across all commodities, the crop insurance stay in place. We really do have a very good crop insurance. The envy of every farmer in the world is our crop insurance. And so we need to protect that, number one. And some of the other things will be less important. We like them, but we know we'll probably have to give them up.
Another question about China. As you said, there's a risk of having a customer that big, being that much of your exports. What is your degree of confidence that China is going to remain a reliable customer for U.S. soybeans?
Oh, they absolutely are. When you travel in China, and I've been there seven times, started going actually on a family vacation back in 2002, the change in China, even 6 months at a time, the change in China. People are becoming middle class. Now, we don't think about middle class as Americans like they do. Becoming middle class means that they actually get to choose what they eat. When you're making $1 to $2 a day, it's pretty much rice and nothing else. I talked to a gentleman one time and I said, what's the greatest change you've seen in China? He says, I have the ability to eat meat. I eat meat every day because I can. He said, I did not have that choice 10 years ago. So they look at the ability to have food, especially a piece of pork or a piece of chicken, with their diet as so very important. And as more and more people move into that middle class, and let's face it, it's 1.3 billion people, and less than half of them are middle class yet. So it's a huge, huge potential, and fairly exciting as well for corn, because at some point we know that it takes two-thirds corn to one-third soybean meal in that diet, and they are going to eventually run out of corn to feed as well. So great, great opportunity for the United States. They're good. They're good partners. I think they're good, honest people. They've been to our farms. They want to know what we're doing. There's great potential there.